The issue about being free from sin is important because the person who sins is the person who's still submitted in some ways to an ungodly kingdom. And the person who's free of sin is completely in the kingdom of God. But the only way to be free of sin is to discover the depth of His love. It's not possible without His love. It just flat isn't. Because we were created to be loved. Be loved by God. We were created for that intimacy, mm-hmm. and our sin is a result of the lack of that intimacy, mm-hmm. and for no other reason. That's why self-control doesn't work without intimacy. So I guess that is probably one of the clearest ways I've ever stated my position on it. But today, I want to talk to you about something Xana and I have been bantering about a little bit that I've been calling the Christ mantle. If you look over in Luke 4, actually, let's just go to Isaiah 61. You'll recognize it when I read it, that it's in Luke 4 as well. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified.
That was bad.
I'm sorry. You do a lot of reading, you can read faster. You have to excuse me. I'm in a really funky mood today, so.
Yes, you are. What?
This is the basics of, for me, the Christ mantle. The calling, the commission God has given us as men and women of God to carry out His commission. Chris Valentin, I heard him say that the mantle stays with the mission. The anointing stays with the man. So, but the mission of Christ is still on this earth. And this is His mission. To preach good tidings, to heal the brokenhearted, liberty to the captives, opening of prisons to those in bound, to proclaim the acceptance of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God. The vengeance is actually towards the enemy. To console those who mourn, to comfort those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So this is the Christ mantle. Now, as we kind of talked about at the mission this morning, you cannot carry the Christ mantle if you will not protect the seed from defilement. The book of 1 John says that those who belong to Him don't sin because His seed remains in Him. You've read that before? That's 1 John chapter 3. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Okay, so then flip over to Philippians. If you are half hands-free, if not, we'll have someone share with you. Okay, Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. but made himself of no reputation. So, basically, okay, so there's three things that I believe you need to walk in a Christ in the morning, and this one is probably the most important of all three. I can't really say that because one of them is faith, so, you know, I kind of balance which one's more important, I don't know, but this one is vitally important. It takes faith to even be able to do this one. Make yourself of no reputation.
You're right, she's confused. I usually was a talker, but it's been down in the attic, not talking.
Hallelujah.
And he made himself from their reputation, so they believe if anything. Anything that we're doing or whatever, or signs we're holding, when we just start happening and everything, it's not over.
His pursuit was constantly a father. It was not a man. And so, I mean, you hear it throughout as he talks about his relationship with Father. He talks about his authority. He says, I have authority that because I don't seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. My judgment is righteous because of that. And so you can recognize that his focus is God, to honor God, as his father, to honor the relationship he carries with God. And it is not to find pleasure in men or satisfaction through men. You know? So this right here is tremendously important. If we're going to walk in signs and wonders, then we've got to get here first. This is a heart change.
Yeah. That's just belief.
The faith, the heart, and the mind. Like the first one we're talking about, the mind and the attitude, right? Of Christ.
Mm-hmm. You gotta have the attitude of Christ, yeah.
Once you do that, then that just automatically the rest will fall in place.
So when we read chapter 3, you'll hear how Paul references the same perspective. Paul walked in the Christ anointing. And you can hear how he referenced it and how he got there. Verse 7 says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, that indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." See, he's setting a standard, a pathway into the same thing we're talking about, the Christ mantle. And like this morning, I was talking about how when you have this attitude, it protects the seed of the anointing that's in you. It protects it from being defiled.
What then?
This, having this attitude, this perspective, this way of pursuing God rather than pursuing men, this way of getting your comfort, your acceptance, your reality from God, as opposed to getting your identity and value from men. And this is why I keep pushing it so much. You have to get your value from God. Because if you get it from men, then you're actually going to enter into a deception. You won't be able to walk in the Christ mantle. You'll be able to walk in somebody else's mantle, maybe, but not Christ. Right? And I forgot what the other two things are now. I don't want space. Oh, yeah. So the second one is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right, so let's look at faith. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, I'm in Revelations. Look at verse 5.
Is what? What chapter?
11, verse 5. Now, just as 1 John is a book about love, Hebrews is a book about faith. Okay? Verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And it quotes from Scripture, and was not found because God had taken him. For because he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The Bible tells us that Enoch walked with the Lord all the days of his life and pleased God. Okay? Verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is actually, it actually hit the number 3 part before I was ready to get there, but the number 3 thing you need. But faith has 2 elements in it for it to be perfect. Okay? There's 2 elements in faith that are required. One is you have to abide in love, and the second one is just like it. You have to abide in rest. When you're in love, you're gonna be at rest. But they're the same things. The reason I mentioned that there's 2 of them is because oftentimes we recognize the need for love, but we don't recognize that without rest, you're not gonna be in faith. Fear involves torment, and perfect love casts out fear. You hear the lack of rest in fear? The faith is rest. It rests in the comfort, the knowledge that God will see you through and take care of the situation. If you're not at rest, you're not in faith. Is that clear? Did I make it simple? Faith comes through love. We are built up in holy faith through love. We already talked about that from James 20. Building up your most holy faith. Is it James 20? Or Jude 20? Now I gotta look it up.
You said it this morning, too.
I think it's Jude. Through love. Almost there. There it is. Building up your most holy faith, keep yourself in the love of God. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building up your most holy faith, keep yourself in the love of God. So, the love of God produces our most holy faith. Lack of love produces unholy faith. Produces immature faith. Faith that's defiled with fear and doubt and worry and concern. Holy faith comes from the seed of love, the seed place, you know what I'm saying? It's like a child, when a child's being held and comforted, they're at rest, and they know their parents are in control, and they're in perfect faith. Right? So, number 1 was humility, making yourself of no reputation the same way Jesus did, counting everything that is of us worthless, but our abilities, our knowledge, our understanding, as rubbish before what we can gain from God Himself, His power, His authority, His knowledge, His understanding. That's worth something. The stuff we can do without Him, worthless. The Bible actually calls that stuff wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, so we got that. Then we got number two is faith, which is perfected in love. And stays seated in a position of rest. When you have faith, you're going to be at rest. You're going to be at perfect peace. It's not possible to not have faith without rest. Not possible to have faith without rest. Okay? And, of course, number three is, as I said, was already being talked about in that scripture. Hebrews 11 must believe that God is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16.
Number three or two?
Number three, diligently seeking Him, the pursuit of God.
Luke's faith, not humility, faith, and seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Chapters in Luke.
Mm-hmm. You can hear the life of Christ just by talking about it like that, can't you? Don't those three things, you hear them? Just saying that, humility, faith, and seeking, that's Jesus. Wrapped up in a neat bundle, isn't it? That's the way
we're talking about today.
Yeah, that's the way He lived. Okay, so as soon as I can find Luke 16. You, verse 15. Let's look at verse 14. We'll start there. Actually, we'll start with verse 13. Ha ha ha. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Another way of putting it, you can't serve God and yourself. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they deriled him. What does that word mean? 14. Turned their noses up at. Snot. Yeah, full of snot. And just, okay. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. You justify yourselves before men." See, they're pursuing men, right? They love money, they're pursuing men, which is directly contrast. You can't serve both God and yourself, right? And they're serving themselves. "But God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Right, we're talking about pursuing men's affections, pursuing men to think highly of you, to be highly esteemed, right? Which is going with that first thing, right? "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one little tittle of the law. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her is also, who is divorced from her husband, commits adultery." Now let's turn that last verse into a spiritual understanding. Whoever divorces his wife commits adultery, right? And then whoever marries her also commits adultery. God is saying, if you're going to separate yourself from me, you're committing adultery. If you pull away from me, you're committing adultery. And then whoever becomes entangled with you is committing adultery. You see that? The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. You cannot serve God and yourself. Everyone is pressing into it. You hear the pursuit there? Let's look at another one that sounds similar in Matthew 11. We're going to start at verse 7. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John. Now, you need to notice that even though John was, some believe he was struggling in his faith, other people believe that it was his disciples who were struggling in their faith. Regardless of the situation, Jesus' response towards John is honor, complete honor, right? You don't see him honoring the Pharisees, but you see him honoring his brother in the Lord, his fellow servant, the one who had gone before him, and he honors him greatly. And he says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft garments are in the king's house. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is whom it was written, behold, I send you a messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist.
So it's just calling him a woman?
Among those born of women. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. He. The reason that we're greater is because we actually can have fellowship with Father in a way that John couldn't, because he died before Jesus did. Okay? And consequently, we can also walk with more power and authority than John could. And then it says, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. But if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who has come. He is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions, saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he is a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a wine-bibber, a friend to tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. From the days of John until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He calls us to be pursuers, passionate pursuers of his presence. He's wanting us to lay siege on heaven, saying, I must have you in my life. Everyone is pressing into it. You must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there's three things that carry the Christ anointing. There's this humility where we honor God above ourselves. Right? We make it about him, not about us. Then the second one is faith, that has in it both the components of rest and is born of holy love, is made holy through love. And thirdly, is this pressing. Pressing to lay hold of something greater than ourselves. Right? Jesus was humble, of no reputation, a man of faith, and a one who sought God. But it boils down to this: he knew God and could live according to that knowledge. Right? So I've shown you both the ministry, the mission of the Christ mantle, and the requirements of it.
Both.
I've shown you both the ministry, the mission of the Christ mantle, and also the requirements to get there. And many people fall short in one of these areas, and that's why they don't carry that mantle. Y'all seem very somber. Is this bad news?
No, it's not. It's shifting. It's what we've been already wrong. Now it's shifting. Look at me.
He's new. Does it seem new to you? Maybe just a different perspective.
I've been doing that.
I know.
It's a different perspective, I guess. I need to get my brain focused.
How do you feel about it? Jesus said, if anyone would come after him, after me, if any man would do what I'm doing, if any man would take up my mission, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, which means live according to my pattern. Right? It's basically what I just showed you, right? Same thing. Same thing. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In that is all three of those things combined. All three of them. Faith, the pursuit, and the humility. Right? Don't just staring at me. So this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that we can help raise up a generation of people who wear the Christ mantle instead of looking for something else. At the very least, wear the Elijah mantle. But the reality is they're not that different. The requirements are the same. They are the same. The same power flows on. Just the mission is different. It's the only difference between the Christ mantle and the large mantle is the mission. The mission is different. The Elijah mantle is to prepare the way before God, to prepare people's hearts for the coming of the King. The Christ mantle is to restore the hearts, to give them the King. And both are going to be needed. Both are going to be needed in this coming revival. See what I'm saying? It's powerful stuff.
In the end time harvest.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be like.
That's a very long time.
But see, if you can live it, then you can teach it. If you can live it, you can teach it. That's why I keep telling you, you need to pursue it more. Just keep pursuing it. Keep chasing it. Because there's nothing more important for us. Because that pressing into His presence, that determination to get with Him and be with Him, that perseverance, that diligence to be before Him. Diligence talks about continuing even when things don't look good. It's continuous, diligent, right? That diligence leads you into the rest of this stuff. That pressing into Him leads you into all this stuff, right? I mean, that's why you get with God for an hour and He says everything comes from relationship. Yeah, well, He said everything, all the power you need, everything you need comes from My presence. Right? But that's the same thing. He was leading you into what we're talking about now.
And see, that's the same thing about what we think about. I used to tell Paul and they said, God, you know, there's a way to walk in His presence 24/7. We can walk just like Jesus did.
Right. You can't do it without His rest, though.
Right. But that 24/7. Now, this was, do you remember this talking about? I mean, this is right when you got here. I said, there's a way.
That's right.
And but then, it didn't make sense. Tell Jason said the other night, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that changing your mind to see that the kingdom of God is at hand, to get your mind changed to be able to see it, that totally makes sense. Okay, that's what it means. I thought it was like, oh, I gotta become perfect and all this stuff and do all these works before I can see have the kingdom of God at hand.
Right.
But it wasn't that. It was to get in such, so much in His presence that your mind can't help but be changed.
Right.
To see Him, the revelation of the kingdom of God is right here, just like the diamond manifesting itself.
Right.
Just like me passing the welding test, that was the hardest that there was for aluminum. You know, being walked through that, that was just, that was nothing but God just walking me through that. But it wasn't until I humbled myself and asked for, you know. Because if I hadn't went to that man asking to deal with the spear, you know, instead of saying, well, this guy that's harassing me, he needs a kid put in counseling. You know, my ego wants to say that. But the Lord said, no, you look at your own stuff.
Well, I read that quote from A.A. Allen that talked about that we have to deal with our heart in order to get into His presence more, to get more of Him. Remember that quote I read? So, this stuff is real. The question is, really, can we pursue it? But once we get there, once we're in it, you can stay in His presence as long as you can stay in His love. As long as you can stay receiving of His love, then you can always stay in His presence, because that's the key of it. That's where His rest abides, is in His love. When you're staying in His love, you stay in His rest. It all becomes easy. God loves me, and it's good enough for me. Everything becomes easy at that point, in that place. And so, you know, but once you're walking in it, you can then teach it, you can raise up others. So we can take five of us and walk in it, and then raise up five more, each one of us, and we'll have 25. And we can multiply this thing quickly if we can stay in it, if we can walk in it, if we can make Him our number one pursuit, our source for life.